Welcome to Your Gospel here on Gospel for Grampian. Your Gospel is all about making sure that wherever you come from, you'll be able to hear the Gospel.
This is the Gospel in Urdu.
یوحنا کی انجیل اس کا 3 باب اور اس کی 16 آیات سے کیونکہ خداوند نے دنیا سے ایسی محبت رکھی کہ اس نے اپنا اکلوتا بیٹا بخش دیا تاکہ جو کوئی اس پر ایمان لائے ہلاک نہ ہو بلکہ ہمیشہ کی زندگی پائے آمین
Your gospel aims to make the gospel available in languages from around the world. It's taken from John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Look out for more from Your Gospel at the top of the hour, every hour, on Gospel for Grampian.
listen.g4g.org.uk. If you'd like to catch up with our podcasts, then it's podcast.g4g.org.uk. Thank you for listening.
You are tuned into Gospel for Grampian, Gospel Community Radio, engaging, equipping, enabling life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. Listen in on the website, listen.g4g.org.uk.
Very good afternoon to you. This is Gospel for Grampian Gospel Community Radio for North Scotland, engaging, equipping, and enabling communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. A very happy new year to you as we begin this Community Elements show. Wow. Anyway, for this particular Community Elements show, and indeed until the end of January, we've decided that we would not have any further fresh Brian's Good News stories, but rather take a random pick. I even had the cheek to call it pick of the best, but what we're doing is picking up on some of Brian's good news stories that he's been making over the time, and we're starting off with Brian's good news from the 5th of October 2018. And it quite often happens for Brian's good news. We will be quite often pick up on organisations that are out there and helping folks in the communities, and one of these organisations is the Social Bite-bite.co.uk, which actually has centres in Livingston, in Edinburgh, Aberdeen, and we'll be hearing what their COVID response is going to be on that. So we'll be picking up on that, and we'll also have another first aid for you from St John Ambulance first aid advice, that coming up later on in the program. And I have to say, listeners, we are looking forward to catching up with Brian once again for more good news stories, fresh good news stories in February. And so please do keep up your prayers for Brian, and we'll look forward to seeing him in February. In the meanwhile, let's go into this pick of Brian's good news for the 5th of October 2018.
Good afternoon and a warm welcome along to this Community Elements show this Friday, the 5th of October. Wow. October upon us already.
Already? Wow.
Yes. But what it is good to see, however, is the wonderful colours that have started to come through on the trees.
Yes, I can remember once counting the leaves falling off the trees.
That would have taken you a long time if you're just looking at one tree.
Exactly.
Or several trees. Is that what your mum used to get you to do?
Well, that was on a trip from the exhibition centre in Aberdeen.
Were you made
to the treetops hotel. It was a morning rush hour. And we were going so slow, I was able to count the leaves falling off the trees. It was not the most pleasant of journeys.
And how many leaves did you get up to?
I lost count.
Anyway, to continue, this is the
Community Elements Show and Brian's Good News. So you have four good news stories for us this morning.
A woman is spreading positive messages around a community hoping to lighten someone's day and help those who suffer in silence with mental illness. Jessica Nicol has tagged Cove with 24 uplifting and affirmative written messages. The 25-year-old, who owns a crafts and gift shop, was inspired after someone unexpectedly sent her a positive message about her work. She said, "I thought it was a really nice gesture. It was uplifting and so positive. I thought if that message made me feel the way it did, why not to do it for others? I decided to do something similar and put them around Cove where I live. It's meant to brighten someone's day, and maybe someone who finds it can pass it to another friend." Jessica and her younger sister Amber worked their way around the area to distribute the cards. The pair started at Cove Harbour before making their way through Old Cove, the Altons Community Centre, and finishing at the GP surgery. Jessica also hopes it can help people who might suffer in silence. She said, "A lot of people suffer with anxiety and depression, and there's still a lot of stigma surrounding mental health. There's a lot of people out there suffering in silence, and I hope they can help someone who finds them, or even someone can pass it on to someone who might need to hear something positive. I don't think one card will fix everyone's problems, but one card, especially for someone going through a difficult time, could help them feel better for a bit." The mother of one takes her inspiration from the positive quotes she sees on social media and puts these messages on the cards. "I'm all about a positive mind and positive thinking. Jessica is considering continuing the project. I've seen parts on social media that say they found a card and that it brightened their day." A cancer support charity has opened a new sensory garden at its city base. Clan Cancer Support has redeveloped the garden at its Clan House Wellbeing and Support Centre in Westbourne Road. The rejuvenated garden is for those visiting the centre as well as those staying in Clan House while attending Aberdeen hospitals for treatment. The area has been named in memory of the Aberdeen Standard Investments employee Suzanne McKechnie Skinner, who passed away in 2015. The garden, which has two distinct areas, features a large variety of flowers and plants. Dr. Colette Bakewell, Chief Executive of Clan Cancer Support, said, "We're very proud to open our new sensory garden at Clan House during what is Clan's 35th anniversary. On behalf of everyone at Clan, I'd like to thank Aberdeen Standard Investments Charitable Foundation and Technic FMC, who have been very generous in their support of the project. Thanks to the dedication of Clan and their skilled garden volunteers, the garden has become a relaxing oasis in the heart of Aberdeen and home to a wide range of flowers and plants. We were delighted when the garden won its category in the Aberdeen in Bloom Awards in 2017 and 2018. Claire Drummond, Head of Charitable Giving for Aberdeen Standard Investments Charitable Foundation, said, "Colleagues and friends of Suzanne have seen the project take root through volunteering their services and helping plant the garden area over the summer months. Along with sensory planting, the garden now features raised beds and improved paving to ensure the garden is accessible to everyone visiting the centre. The grass area will also provide opportunities for pursuits such as drawing and painting, physical activities such as gardening, and activities for children affected by a cancer diagnosis." Bill Morris, Managing Director of Technic FMC UK, said, "We are proud to support Clan Cancer Support in the creation of their new sensory garden. The space will provide a wonderful area for clients and families to relax and enjoy the outdoors while also participating in the various activities on offer." Nursery pupils helped to bring a splash of colour to a city hospice as they opened a new playroom. children from the Little Acorn Nursery visited Roxburgh House in Aberdeen to officially open its newly refurbished playroom after helping to raise £2,121 for its transformation. The room, now complete with toys, games and an interactive television screen, is now available for patients of all ages and relatives of older patients. After completing a sponsored walk along the beach esplanade, the pupils donated to the room's revamp to join the efforts of the Friends of Roxburgh House Grampian Charity. The revamp also benefited from a donation from the hospice's Spar store. Treasurer of the group, Peter Clark, said, "We identified the play area as being in need of refurbishment 2 years ago, so it has been a long time in the making. The donations from Spar and the Little Acorns Nursery have helped transform the room. Though Roxburgh House is primarily for adults, there are children who stay there and many who visit, so this can provide some respite for them." Roxburgh House's Spar also contributed to the appeal by donating £5,000 accrued by the 5p bag charge. NHS activists coordinator Liz MacDonald said, "I've been involved in the project from the start, so it is great to see it being used. We made it colourful to attract the little children, but we added the pod chair for the older children. It has chargers nearby and blocks out the sound around you, so it will be good for when they are having a hard time and just want to get away from it all." Henry McBain, 4, cut the ceremonial ribbon with child-friendly scissors and said, "I like the Lego the best." The boss of a housing initiative which has eradicated rough sleeping in Finland has said the same could happen in Aberdeen. Jukka Kekkonen, the CEO of the Y Foundation in Finland, hopes that implementing the Housing First initiative in Scotland could get every homeless family off the streets in the same way as it did in the Baltic country. Homeless charity Social Bite is funding a version of the Finnish scheme, along with the Scottish Government. Housing First aims to offer homeless people wraparound support for their needs, along with housing. More than 800 properties across 5 cities in Scotland have been released for use, including 120 in Aberdeen. As part of the funding for Housing First, Social Bite will be expanding their Sleep in the Park event, with sleepouts being held in 4 cities across Scotland, including one in Duthie Park. Social Bite has already put £3 million towards the project, along with £4 million from the Scottish Government, and are hoping that Sleep in the Park funds can be used to bolster the programme. This year's Sleep in the Park is due to take place on December 8th in Duthie Park. Individuals aged 16 and over and groups are welcome to take part, with a minimum £100 fundraising commitment for a single person. Groups, which should be formed of more than 5 people, are tasked with raising at least £3,000. Prizes will be given out for the biggest corporate and individual fundraisers. Eddie Reader, former singer with Fairground Attraction, will perform at the event, with Katie Tunstall and Amy MacDonald, who are doing a whirlwind tour of the 4 cities hosting events, also taking to the stage. The closing date for entries is December 2nd, and people can sign up at www.sleepinthepark.co.uk. We have an appropriate text, I believe, for today, taken from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brian, and good on you for including these messages of hope and indeed messages of love from Jessica. She's gone around Cove to spread these messages around and taking that inspiration from social media. I have to say, it took me a wee while. I used to get these things coming up on my phone, and it sometimes seemed one after the other message, and it's easy to dismiss them because there are just so many messages coming up.
but yet when you have a look at them, many are messages of great hope and encouragement.
Yes.
And they come in from people, and you know that these people mean well, and it's good. It's a good thing that when we can give messages of hope and encouragement to another person and help to brighten their day if possible. So good on Jessica for doing that. That's really good. The garden that's with Clan is really good. The hospice playroom is good. And then the Finnish homeless scheme, again, for good news stories. And you previously mentioned, of course, the Social Bite, the cafe that's actually at the, it's more like a takeaway that's at the top of Union Street. And I mean to pop up that way and support them once again, because they do a great job in highlighting the issue of homelessness and housing and whatever. And I think they do a brilliant job.
They do, actually, yes.
Which is, should we say, tops for you?
I will pick out just the one this week, although they all count. The Jessica's putting out cards throughout Cove and that. Okay, she did a dozen, but she has received so much encouragement through the social media messages which have shown the appreciation of the cards. So this is encouraging her to continue to do this. And I am confident, because Jessica's got a real heart for this.
Mm-hmm.
So she will continue to put out this encouraging, uplifting messages. And that is, I find it very uplifting to me. Because there are many people out there who, as she says, suffer in silence. They don't want to advertise their needs, you know, or their lack.
I think it's, well, some of it could be fear, some of it could be a certain amount of pride.
Well, that's true.
A disillusionment, anger, call it what you will, but yes, they need to have that hope, and that may be all that's required to lift them up.
That's true, you see.
And start the route back.
Yes, exactly. So this is you might consider this a minor thing that she's doing, but it's got major results.
Some people, sceptics, would look at something like this and think, well, it's just a drop in the ocean. Yeah, but where do you start? Where do you start? And if it makes a difference even to one person, what difference could that one person make to many? And if it makes a difference to 12 people or to many more people, because she's putting these messages up where they can be seen, what effect is this message going to have to even just a few people in Cove? But they can be encouraged by that, and then they can take that and take that, those messages, take their heart from that, and actually, who knows, make a difference in someone else's or several other people's lives.
Yes.
And so,
and several places as well.
And several places as well, in fact, wherever they travel.
Uh-huh. It's a message which is worth spreading. Now, she is doing it, but other people can take it up and may spread it even further. Mm-hmm. I think it's a brilliant article.
Yeah. I think thinking about 12 cards, just a bit like Jesus chose 12 disciples. It does seem almost biblical that she's got these 12 cards, and she's put those out there with the 12 messages of hope on it. But Jesus had 12 disciples. But through what he did, many people, millions of people, have now accepted the good news of the gospel. And
exactly.
That's actually why we're here as a radio station, is to proclaim, but also working with organisations and also highlighting encouraging news stories like this,
mm-hmm.
like all of these. But I think this in particular is resonant in both our minds today.
Mm.
And it's a very good one to have.
Very much so. Yeah.
So we're just about at the end of Brian's good news for this week. So can I get you to read out Proverbs scriptures again, please?
Yeah, I'll just mention that, you know, it's about children. The text is about children.
a couple of the articles have highlighted the benefits that children can be to other people as well. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it."
Brian, can I thank you very much? Good news from Brian, coming up again next week at the same time on Gospel for Grampian Community Elements. Thank you once again, Brian, for that.
Pleasure.
For those of you who have just joined us, this is the Community Elements Show, and I'd like to say a warm welcome and a happy new year. Now, if you're expecting to be able to hear Brian almost live this week, we're going to be hopefully featuring Brian's good news once again come the start of February. But for the moment, we've been looking at a pick of Brian's good news. And quite often, Brian raises in his good news stories, which he gets from local newspapers like the Evening Express, he gets some good news stories which refer to certain organisations who are doing a great job in the local community. And one of these is the work of Social Bite, and that's what we're coming to right now. One of the other things that we have been doing since last year is to pick up on first aid advice as given by St John Ambulance. And we have two items on the go. Firstly, advice for first aiders, and then what to do in cases of carbon monoxide poisoning. So what to do then? This is Gospel for Grampian, Gospel Community Radio for North Scotland, engaging, equipping, enabling communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. This is Gospel Community Radio for North Scotland. And this particular community element is being recorded on the 8th of January 2021. Now, this is actually coming in response to this week's Brian's Good News, which is actually a pick of Brian's Good News stories, a random pick of good news stories. And one of the good news stories from this random pick from the 5th of October 2018 is a story which concerns the Social Bite. That's social-bite.co.uk. But we would ask ourselves, what is Social Bite's response to COVID? Here's Josh Littlejohn.
Hi everyone, this is Josh here, the co-founder of Social Bite. I'm here with my other co-founder Alice, who's behind the camera there. And we are in our central kitchen here in Livingston, which is where much of our food is produced for the Social Bite cafes. We've just had a big team meeting, and I've got some really important things I want to share with you all of our supporters watching this. Obviously, Social Bite's in no different situation from any hospitality business in the world, really, in the sense that suddenly our chain of five cafes, our corporate catering business, our restaurant, our business has fallen off a cliff. And you know, we're in a real fight for survival. We were thinking about how best to respond to this for our own organisation, but also more importantly for all of the homeless people that we work with, and wider than homeless people, the vulnerable people that are going to be created as a result of this situation. We're thinking about mothers and families that are in a situation where they were relying on free school meals. We're thinking about the thousands of people that are going to be made redundant and who are suddenly going to find themselves in severe poverty. We're thinking about the fact donations to food banks have fallen off a cliff themselves. There's going to be a lot of really desperate people in a lot of trouble. So what we've decided to do, and what we're asking for your support with, is that we are going to repurpose the whole focus of Social Bite, the whole purpose of our central kitchen here over the next 3 months, to have a big nationwide delivery service for homeless people and for vulnerable people in Glasgow, Edinburgh and Aberdeen, and we'll try and get to Dundee as well. Each day we're going to be producing at least 3,000 sandwiches along with fruit, crisps. We're going to be looking for other donations for emergency things, whether that's hygiene facilities, toilet rolls, paracetamols as well, and we're going to be distributing these out on a daily basis through our chain of cafes, but also to many charities and community organisations throughout Scotland. So we've set up a Just Giving page. The Scottish Government are right behind us on this as well, and we're asking you to support so we can come together and do something positive in this really desperate time. Thanks so much for listening.
And thanks very much to Josh and indeed the great work that's done by social-byte.co.uk. So what exactly have Social Byte been up to? We've heard from Josh how they've repurposed their business to actually help. And there have been a number of key milestones in the COVID-19 response. 500,000 emergency fresh food packs and meals delivered to those in need. At the peak of the crisis, they were delivering over 6,000 emergency food packs each weekday. 160 people were accessing free takeaway food each weekday from cafes in Edinburgh, Glasgow, Aberdeen, with social distancing maintained. Throughout the pandemic, they've worked with 99 partner charities, using their local knowledge to distribute food to those most in need in their communities, and delivered 162,000 non-perishable and essential items, which Josh actually mentioned about paracetamol and such like, alongside their free fresh food packs. So hats off to Social Byte. And if you want to find out more about what they're doing, there's, as he said, they have, Josh said, they have actually done a Just Giving page. And what they're also saying is that you can actually go and help them out and buy a box of Joy brownies, handmade, ethical, indulgence, and support the mission of ending homelessness, and buy a box today. So you can actually buy that from their website, and I'm not quite sure how that will arrive there, but what we can do is we'll try that and see what actually happens. Because whether or not it goes to us, or whether or not it goes to the homeless, then that would be good. So they're going to be sorting things out, I'm sure. And now it is, as I say, we'll be back from taking orders from 24th of December. So not quite sure how things are going to go there, but you can actually go and buy even a chocolate box and various other things. Or you can even pay it forward. Now, if you pay it forward, they provide fresh food to people experiencing homelessness from each of the cafes and through their delivery network to partners across Scotland. And you can help support this today by paying forward. They meet the demand for giving away as many brownies and hot drinks as we will use support to contribute to the wider mission of ending homelessness, including employment project programs, innovative housing projects, and other important projects programs to help to break the cycle of homelessness. You can actually add to your basket and so let's just say that we were to pay it forward. You can do that, and that means that you can then ensure that someone else will have an opportunity to have some hope, some food given to them. That there are going to be a lot of very, very needy people out there. And I think it'd be a great idea right now if we finish off this particular community element by actually praying for the great needs, not only of the people, but the work done by Social Byte and indeed the Scottish Government and other charities. And that these charities and churches, if they get involved, can start working together. So first of all, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, that there are organisations such as Social Byte out there that are willing to help. There are such organisations as Seafine that are willing to work together. And we also pray, Lord God, for the work of the Scottish Government, for governments. We pray for churches. And Lord God, in line with our own heart, which is to see churches working together in unity and responding to the needs in communities, and indeed, in particular, working with organisations such as Social Byte, such as Seafine and Scarf, and and other organisations as well. Lord, we pray, Lord, that the combined work of these organisations is going to bring about a much not only needed response, but it's a way of sharing the resources and making sure that people, Lord God, are able to survive during these really difficult times. So we pray all these things in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord God, because we are a station that prays, because we are a station that believes and trusts in you, we pray, Lord God, that your light would shine out, not only from this station. And we call, Lord God, upon you as Jehovah Jireh to provide. We call upon you as Jehovah Makodeshkem to sanctify, that is, to sanctify the prayers and bring these things into being so that these prayers will have real effect. We ask all these things in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners. And if you'd like to find out, as I say, more about Social Bite, it's social-bite.co.uk. This is Gospel for Grampian.
In this section of the Community Elements show, we have advice, first aid advice from St John Ambulance, that's sja.org.uk.
And as first aiders, the SJA St John Ambulance have come up with some advice for first aiders. And they go through some of the advice. So be aware of the risks to yourself and to others. Keep yourself safe. Give early treatment. Keep yourself informed and updated. Remember your own needs. When approaching a casualty, there is always a risk of cross-contamination, especially when you may have to get close to the casualty to assess what is wrong or to check their breathing. It is always important to be aware of the risks of how this cross-contamination has occurred. According to NHS 111, we do not exactly know how coronavirus spreads from person to person, but similar viruses are spread in cough droplets. Keep yourself safe. In line with government advice, make sure that you wash your hands or use an alcohol gel before and after treating a casualty, and also ensure that you don't cough or sneeze over a casualty when you're treating them. The Resuscitation Council provides useful advice of how to keep yourself safe when providing CPR. So there's a link on how to do that. Don't lose sight of other cross-contamination that could occur that isn't related to COVID-19. Always wear gloves or cover hands when dealing with open wounds. Cover cuts and grazes on your hands with waterproof dressings. Dispose of all waste safely. Do not touch a wound with your bare hand. Do not touch any part of a dressing that will come into contact with a wound. Give early treatment. The vast majority of incidents do not involve you getting close to a casualty where you would come into contact with cough droplets. Sensible precautions will ensure that you are able to treat a casualty effectively. Keep yourself informed and updated, as this is a new disease, an ever-changing situation, and the government and NHS are continually updating their advice. Make sure that you continually review the NHS 111 and government website, which has a specific section on coronavirus. And there are links to that. Remember your own needs, as these are challenging and uncertain times for all. The COVID-19 outbreak has meant a lot of upheaval and worry. In order to help others, you also need to look after your own needs. So make sure that you take time to talk about your fears and concerns with someone you trust, and take time out to look after yourself. How to do CPR on an adult, and I think really the whole process of doing CPR, particularly in these times, cannot be overstated. And so that's what we're going to do. If an adult is unresponsive and not breathing normally, you'll need to call 999 or 112 and start CPR straight away. CPR stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation, and it combines chest compressions and rescue breaths to give a person the best chance of survival following a cardiac arrest. So, if you find someone collapsed, you should first perform a primary survey. Do not place your face close to theirs. If you have established from this that they are unresponsive and not breathing, you should ask a helper to call 999 or 112 for emergency help while you start CPR. Ask a helper to find and bring a defibrillator if one is available.
Ask your helper to put the phone on speaker and hold it out toward you so they can maintain a 2 meter distance. If you are on your own, use the hands-free speaker on the phone so you can start CPR while speaking to ambulance control. Do not leave the casualty to look for a defibrillator yourself. The ambulance will bring one. Before you start CPR, use a towel or piece of clothing and lay it over the mouth and nose of the casualty. Start CPR nearby the casualty and put the heel of your hand on the middle of their chest. Put your other hand on top of the first and interlock your fingers, making sure that they don't touch the ribs. Keep your arms straight and lean over the casualty. Press down hard to a depth of 5 to 6 centimeters before releasing the pressure, allowing the chest to come back up. The beat of the song Staying Alive can help to keep the right speed. Do not give rescue breaths. Continue to perform CPR until emergency help takes over or the person shows signs of life and starts to breathe normally, or you are too exhausted to continue. If there is a helper, you can change over every 1 to 2 minutes with minimal interruptions to chest compressions, and a defib is ready to be used. If the helper returns with the defib, ask them to switch it on and follow the voice prompts until you come while you continue with CPR. Whenever possible, the helper should keep a distance of 2 meters. If the casualty shows signs of becoming responsive, such as coughing, opening eyes, and starting to speak or breathe normally, put them into the recovery position. Monitor their level of response and be prepared to give CPR again if necessary. If you have used a defibrillator, leave it attached. And that's the latest that is available from sja.org.uk with regard to giving CPR. Welcome to Gospel for Grampian and indeed to the Community Elements Show. If you've just joined us, what we're trying to do is to build up an understanding of what to do if someone falls ill or if someone is injured. And so we've got some first aid advice as given by St. John Ambulance. Today it's what to do in cases of carbon monoxide poisoning. Now, carbon monoxide poisoning can prove fatal if inhaled in large quantities, and you can learn what to look for and what to do. Now, it is very hard to detect, it has no taste or smell, and if someone breathes in carbon monoxide in large quantities, then from smoke, vehicle exhaust fumes, it can be fatal. Now, these could come from exhaust fumes of motor vehicles in a confined space, smoke from incomplete burning of oil, gas, logs and oil in a confined space, blocked chimney flues, disposable or portable barbecues in a confined space, emissions from defective gas or paraffin heaters. Now, when exposed to low levels, people may have a headache, they may have confusion, aggression, nausea and vomiting. When exposed to high levels of carbon monoxide, they may have red or grey-blue skin coloration, difficulty in breathing, reduced levels of responses leading to unresponsiveness. What to do? Call 999 or 112 for emergency help. Tell the ambulance you suspect fume inhalation. Help to move the casualty from the source of fumes into fresh air. Do not enter the fume-filled area yourself. Support the casualty and encourage them to breathe normally. If the casualty's clothing is still burning, try to extinguish the flames and prepare to treat the burns. Stay with the casualty until help arrives. Monitor and record the casualty's vital signs, breathing, pulse, and level of response. If the casualty is found unresponsive, open the airway, check their breathing, and prepare to treat for an unresponsive casualty. Now we'll also give the advice once again of what to do in the case of an unresponsive casualty. Also in this section, we're also going to be covering how to do CPR on an adult. COVID-19 update. CPR stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation. It combines chest compression and rescue breaths to give the best chance of survival following a cardiac arrest. Now, St John Ambulance have updated their guidance due to the COVID-19 outbreak. Do not perform rescue breaths on the casualty. If an adult is unresponsive and not breathing normally, you still need to call 999 or 112 for emergency help and start CPR right away. Now, if you do find someone collapsed, you should first perform a primary survey. Do not place your face close to theirs. If you have established from this that they are unresponsive and not breathing, you should ask a helper to call 999 or 112 for emergency help while you start CPR. Ask a helper to find and bring a defibrillator if available. Ask your helper to put the phone on speaker and hold it outward toward you so they can maintain a 2-meter distance. If, however, you are on your own, use the hands-free speaker on a phone so that you can start CPR while speaking to ambulance control. Do not leave the casualty to look for a defibrillator yourself. The ambulance will bring one. Before you start CPR, use a towel or piece of clothing, lay over the mouth and nose of the casualty. Start CPR. Kneel by the casualty. Put the heel of your hand in the middle of their chest. Put your other hand on top of this and interlock fingers, making sure they do not touch the ribs. Keep your arms straight and lean out over the casualty. Press down and hard to a depth of 5 to 6 centimeters before releasing the pressure, allowing the chest to come back up. Now, if you want to know how often to compress the chest, then it's the beat of the song Staying Alive can help you keep the right speed. Do not give rescue breaths. Continue to perform CPR until emergency help arrives and takes over, or the person starts showing signs of life and to breathe normally, or you are too exhausted to continue. If there is a helper, you can change over to every 1 to 2 minutes with minimal interruptions to test chest compressions. A defibrillator is ready to be used. If the helper returns with a defibrillator, ask them to switch it on and follow the voice prompts while you continue with CPR. Whenever possible, the helper should keep a distance of 2 meters. If the casualty shows signs of responsiveness, such as coughing, opening eyes and starting to breathe normally, put them in the recovery position. Monitor their level of response and prepare to give CPR again if necessary. If you have used a defibrillator, leave it attached. This is Gospel for Grampian, and we've been giving some information and first aid help advice from St John Ambulance, sja.org.uk.
Gospel for Grampian Book Club. This Saturday, our featured book is The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson. Sunday will feature Hannah Hernard's Hind's Feet in High Places. Book Club, broadcast every Saturday and Sunday at 4 p.m. here on Gospel for Grampian.
This is Gospel for Grampian Gospel Community Radio for North Scotland. Now we've got something a little bit different happening next week and for the next 2 weeks here on Gospel for Grampian, because we have a sermon series coming up from King's Community Church, and this is going to be broadcast at 8 p.m. Tuesday through to Friday, and there are 8 programs all together, and it's the theme of these sermons is Living Hope. So that's all coming up for you, and you'll be able to see that something on our website, and we'll let you know what's up and coming, what you can hopefully hear each day, and hopefully look forward to that. So that's 8 p.m. and that will be necessarily meaning that next week the Power Hour, and for the week after that, Power Hour will not be taking place. We'll be having hymns during that 7 to 8 p.m. session, but then 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Tuesday through to Friday, you'll be able to hear Living Hope, the sermon series given by King's Community Church. Now, that brings us virtually up to the end of the information that we have for you on this Friday, the Community Elements Show. Now, you'll be able to hear this programme going out again Saturday and Sunday at 12 p.m. and individual Community Elements going out again during the week. Gospel for Grampian, Gospel Community Radio for North Scotland. Engaging, equipping, enabling communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. And by that, we want people to hear and to see and to experience the gospel as believers go about working together. Unity of response to making the gospel known. We wish you a very great weekend and a very great week ahead.
All aboard!
Catch the Gospel Blues train with me, Linz Honeyman, on Gospel for Grampian Radio each Monday at 9 p.m. for a journey of discovery as we delve into the abundant world of gospel blues music, as well as taking the odd detour into the lands of rhythm and blues, soul and gospel. And if you miss the train, you can hear the show again on Fridays at 2 p.m. and Saturdays at 10 p.m. So get on board the Gospel Blues train on Gospel for Grampian Radio, living life to the full.
Hi, I'm Dudley Anderson. You know, I conduct many funerals. My counsel to believing bereaved ones is simply only hope. No one knows the thoughts before death, and all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Soon the chemistry of my body will cease to react and my heart will stop, but my soul will still exist. Question is, where will I exist? Sin has separated my soul from God's glory, resulting in eternal death. But God made a way for me to know his forgiveness and be reconciled to his life. This through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it is, at every funeral I talk about life. Life that's free to all who call on the name of the Lord. God Trekking is begun by calling on the name of Jesus. This is a listener-supported ministry. You can support us by going to surereality.net.
You are tuned into Gospel for Grampian, Gospel Community Radio, engaging, equipping, enabling life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. Listen in on the website, listen.g4g.org.uk.